Begin reading at verse 8. Exodus chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Exodus chapter 7, beginning at verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show me a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh, and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh called the wise men, and the sorcerers, and the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of standing on the Word of God. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you again for the wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as always, I am ever aware of my need for your anointing and your wisdom to properly preach your word to your people. And I ask for it one more time again today. And Lord, I know you want to see your people blessed today. And Lord, just I turn my members over to the movement of the Holy Spirit, that he would give me the words specifically you want said today. And Lord, if it comes from the Holy Spirit of God, it's going to bless everyone. It's going to strengthen everyone. It's going to encourage everyone. And Lord, we know that can't be done without your precious anointing, which we ask for now. And Lord, give us the ability in the mind to rightly divide the word of your truth and make it plain and make it clear. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Constitution of the United States of America is probably one of the greatest man-made documents in the history of the world. What makes the Constitution so great is that it's predicated upon this book right here. Sadly, through the eons of time, our nation has forgotten that Constitution was predicated upon this book. And the interpretation of that Constitution is now no longer viewed through the eyes of this book, but rather through the eyes of man. And even with the mighty Word of God, when man begins to attempt to interpret the Word of God through his own intellect and his own mental prowess, he's bound to go into error. That's why our nation is headed headlong, I believe, into destruction today, is because it has turned its back upon this word. Even though our mighty Constitution, which has served this nation well for hundreds of years now, is predicated upon this book, it is now torn apart by the homosexual agenda, who tries to interpret it to say their lifestyle is okay and that they have a right to live that way. You see how deplorable conditions can get when man turns from this book. As you and I are living in this last day's world, and I was reminded as I was preparing this sermon, the rapture's soon to take place. Please don't ever forget that. I feel a rush of the Holy Ghost as I say it. Jesus Christ is soon to appear in the clouds with the trump of God, and we are going to be translated off of this planet into the presence of God in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Never forget that, church. When you see the world going mad, never forget, as we sang this morning, this world is not our home. Glory to God. We're but a puff of smoke down here. Whether we go by way of grave or whether by way of rapture, we don't have long left. Jesus is coming. And the challenge to the child of God living in these perilous times, as 2 Timothy chapter 3 called them. Why would the Holy Spirit use that word perilous there? Because you look at the world and the natural as a Christian, and you see it doesn't take an intellect to discern. It's a mess. But bear in mind that which was being given to Timothy to write was from God's perspective. It was called perilous because there would be so little of this book being preached and declared. It's one thing to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whenever there is a powerful declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't ever forget what I'm about to tell you. It's very important. Whenever there is a powerful declaration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, at the center of that declaration will always be the finished work of the cross. If it's the gospel, the center of what that man, woman, whoever they may be, is declaring, it will have at the center of that message as the ultimate answer, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If it does not contain at the center of it, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they're merely preaching about the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel. And the challenge to the child of God, to our faith in this last day, is to ensure that our faith rests exclusively and squarely in that central truth of God's Word, Christ and Him crucified. I brought to you last week how I don't want to hear anything else. If you think you need something more than the cross of Christ, your faith is in a mess. Because as we discussed last week in the message, the central theme in heaven, not on earth, in heaven, throughout the eons of time, is going to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Over 28 times again, I remind you in Revelation, you find the phrase, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Every time speaking in heaven of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Hallelujah. So if you're bored with it down here, you're going to have to take it up with Jesus when He starts declaring things to us in heaven and tell Him, well, I'm tired of hearing about this cross. I don't think nobody's going to do that. I don't think nobody's going to challenge the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the portals of glory. We'll sit there in rapt attention when He speaks. And He's referred to as the Lamb. So the challenge to us is to ensure our faith remains where it should be. To inherit all the power, to inherit the power of God, the promise of God, and the presence of God in our hearts and lives in these last days, because we ain't got long left. And Satan's trying everything, and multitudes are being deceived by fanciful tactics of men. I mean, I saw one guy on TV the other day selling the blood of Jesus. He had some kind of red little bottle of oil that he had colored, and he was, I don't know what he'd put in it, but he was selling it as the blood of Jesus anointing oil. And people had to be taking him up on his offers. He was on TV. It ain't cheap to go on TV. But it just shows you the trickery that men are going to in this last day, that Satan is using men who don't love the gospel to destroy people. He's using men who don't love the gospel, who are just concerned about themselves and not about leading people to Jesus and getting them real help. As we read this story in the book of Exodus, it is a perfect metaphor, a perfect microcosm, if you will, of the very spiritual situation you and I live in at this moment in time. In Exodus chapter 4, God had shown Moses when He called him. He said, I'm going to be with you. And my Lord, I could stop and preach for days right there. That's really all we need to know. If He's told us, I'm going to be with you. And He said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. But He told Moses when He called him to go before Pharaoh as his agent of deliverance, as his God's agent to speak to the most powerful man in the world, He took something as simple as a stick on the ground, a rod. And He said, Moses, pick up that rod and now throw it down. And when Moses threw it down, the Bible says it became a serpent. And Moses, in fear, recoiled and backed away from it. And the Lord let him know, I'm doing this to show you my power and that I'm with you. And He said, pick it up by the tail, Moses. And when Moses' hand touched that tail, that serpent became a rod once again. And He said, I'm calling you to go before Pharaoh and demand the deliverance of my people, the children of Israel, from Egyptian bondage. And when he went, he and Aaron, before Pharaoh, I want you to get this scene. The palace of Pharaoh, if you study history, was one of the most ornate, lavish palaces ever made. Gold in the pillars that held it up. The very throne itself made of gold. And Egypt worshiping the serpent as a sign of life. The Pharaoh had on his head a crown that had the coiled cobra coming out of the center of the forehead of the crown. And his court magicians practiced the black arts, as they're called, meaning they had infestations of demons. Demon power was running rampant, just like it is in the United States of America today. And I want to take that one step further, and good morning. Sadly, in most churches in the United States of America today, it's demon power in operation and not the power of the Holy Ghost. And you say, how can you make such a sweeping statement like that, Pastor? Because they're preaching another gospel that they have fashioned, not this Bible, not Christ and Him crucified. And when they walk in, here come in, get this picture. This is the seat of the most powerful place in the world. It will be the equivalent, if you will, of me walking into the President Obama's office, just some poor bumpkin dressed in regular street clothes coming in to tell him, God's got a message for you. And this is equivalent to what this was when Moses and Aaron, two Hebrew men, wearing shepherd's clothes, get an audience with the most powerful man in the world. And at this time, it was Aaron who was holding the rod. And I see him as they walk in, as Pharaoh seated on this throne of gold with that serpent, that cobra, coming out of the center of it, looking down on Moses and Aaron and all of his court magicians who seemingly could produce miracles, standing around him. Now, I want you to get this out of your mind for just a minute. If you saw Cecil B. DeMille's movie, The Ten Commandments, you had two men standing there who were, I'm sure he was using them to represent Jannes and Jambres, who the Bible speaks of in 2 Timothy 3:8 as being two of Pharaoh's court magicians. There were two, but they were the most powerful ones. They were the leaders. More than likely, there could have been 50 or 60 of these magicians standing around with their rods. Had to be more than two, though. I can tell you that for certainty. And as they walk in, here's the center of the throne, Pharaoh, and these magicians and Chaldeans and those that practice demonic power standing, looking down on them. And the Lord had already shown and prepared Moses for this moment in time. The Bible says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. This word has been brought alive in our lives. God has already shown Himself alive in Jesus Christ by changing our hearts and lives. We know Jesus is real. Just as He gave Moses that sign in chapter 4, He has given you and us the sign that the power of the cross of Jesus Christ is real, and it will change your heart and life, and it will give us victory over sin, and it will adopt us by Almighty God, and it will secure us in the fact that heaven is our eternal home, that when this rapture takes place, we're going to go shooting skyward in a nanosecond to meet Jesus Christ. That's peace. That's joy. That's glory. Hallelujah. And although Moses and Aaron are not the most socially astute, nor are they wearing the finest cuts of clothes, they have a word from God. Never forget this as long as we live. God help us to remember it. We've got a word from God. We've got a word from God. And they walk in, and the challenge comes from Pharaoh. When these two guys walk in wearing his Hebrew garb. Pharaoh, they're not even worth Pharaoh's time. It's amazing. It was God that they even got an audience with him in the first place. And they say, let all of Israel go. Now, you have to put that in perspective for just a moment. It was Israeli labor that built the pyramids. It was Israeli labor that built the Sphinx and all of those ancient wonders, so-called, that are still left in Egypt. That was God's children who constructed those ultimately. And when Moses and Aaron walk in before Pharaoh and say, let my people go, they're in effect saying, dismiss the labor of the entire country, the slave labor of the entire country. And you know, Pharaoh must have chuckled. He did, obviously so, in his heart. He's secure in his position. He's worshipped as a god. He believes he is God on this earth. And then all of a sudden, Moses turns and whispers to Aaron, throw down the rod. And Aaron does, and immediately it's turned into a serpent. This doesn't daunt Pharaoh. He's not impressed because there's some 50 of his court magicians that are standing around his throne have developed the technique already of immobilizing the cobras and via demon power making them stiff as a board. And the rods that the magicians are holding are actually in effect cobras that have bands around the back of their head on their nerve center that has immobilized them. And via demon power, because they worship them, they are stiff as Moses' rod. And Pharaoh is not daunted when he sees this rod thrown down and turned into a serpent. He's seen it 100 times. He thinks in his mind, this is nothing. I've got 50 court magicians around me. And he turns to them, and they throw their rods down. And the demon power releases the serpents that are in their hands. And what were stiffened serpents at one point in time now become free in the court. And now get this scene. There's one serpent of Moses and Aaron. And I dare say there's probably at least 50 serpents of Pharaoh's court. Now watch this. Here's how powerful the word of God is. And it didn't take long either. It's declared in this word, the word of God is sharp and powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. And all of a sudden, in the court of Pharaoh, the magician snakes, you know, I don't know what kind of serpent it turned into when Moses threw down his rod. I've got a belief after studying this. Allow me just a bit of conjecture. It won't detract from the cross in any way. I believe it was a serpent created by Almighty God, that there's never been another one like it seen in the world. And its one mission was to consume that which the evil sorcerers had thrown down in front of it. What do you have going on here? You have a challenge thrown down by the world to the Word of God. Put yourself in this court of Pharaoh this morning. This is your challenge and this is my challenge. Whether or not we're going to stand on the Word of God unflinchingly and unfailingly, or whether we're going to become amazed and amused with the court magicians' tricks of the world that are selling the blood of Jesus anointing oil. And all of a sudden, this serpent that I believe comes from Moses and Aaron's rod is a serpent unlike any other one that's ever been created. You could call it a cobra eater if you want to. And all of a sudden, and it loves to eat cobras, whatever God made. And all of a sudden, it starts sucking down cobras like I do Grater's ice cream. And then in a few seconds' time, in a few moments' time, Pharaoh's throne is cleared as this serpent consumes, the one of God consumes all that which is evil. The Lord told me to bring this message to you this way today for this reason. In this last day, Satan is going to try to discourage you. He's going to tell you the cross won't work, that you'll have to compromise your faith if you're going to make it. Don't you do it. Stand on this word of God because it will consume. It will consume that which is false, that which is coming against you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Victory is ours this morning in Jesus Christ. It matters not how powerful. The demonic forces are coming against you and I. We have a sure word from Almighty God. And if we'll stand on it and keep standing on it, victory will come. Because the word of God will consume all that which is false in our lives. If we'll stand on the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel that this morning. I'd give anything to have seen this. I'd give anything to have seen this. All of a sudden, Pharaoh ain't feeling so powerful anymore. And his court magicians stand there stupefied and embarrassed by the power of Almighty God. I'm telling you, when you stand up and declare you're going to live for Jesus and that you love Jesus and you're going to base your life on what he did at the cross, look out, all hell is going to come against you. All hell is going to come against you. There's going to be people at work that don't like you, and you can't figure out why they don't like you. You've been just as nice as you can be to them. And they just hate the ground you walk on, and you can't explain it. I tell you why. It's the same battle that went on in the court of Pharaoh. But you just love them and keep trusting this word, and God will give you victory over a supervisor. He'll give you victory over a mean spouse. He'll give you victory over anything that is coming against you because you're standing on the word of God. You got a word from God this morning. You got a word from God. Stand on it. Stand on it. Young lady, I don't know who you are, but you have just blessed my soul this morning. By raising your hand and praising God for his deliverance. God bless you. Hallelujah. Young lady, I don't know how old she is. I'm not going to ask her, but praise God. Praise God. It blesses me. It blesses me to see teens praising the Lord. It blesses. I've said something way out of whack here, haven't I? I don't know. But, well, I don't know. You're very blessed. You look like a teenager, whoever you are, okay? But praise God. We've got a word from the Lord. And he's already proven it to us that he's going to stand with us. Oh, it's at church. Our deliverance is coming. I don't care what's coming against you. The Lord told me to tell you today, your deliverance is coming. And it can't be stopped. It cannot be stopped. As long as your faith remains in the word of God, victory is yours. Victory is yours. Rejoice, for your Lord has overcome. Hallelujah. And now we go to what the Lord told Timothy, what the Holy Spirit spoke through him in chapter 3, 2 Timothy. He said, in those last days, perilous times are going to come. Why? Men are going to be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And he talked about the false teachers. There's one personality trait that all false teachers will have in common. They're only concerned with themselves. They're only concerned with how much money they make. They're only concerned with gaining notoriety. Their only concern is power that man can give. And our churches are full of pastors like this today. And buckle your seatbelt, here we go. They're no better than Pharaoh's court magicians. They're in the same class. That's why I rejoice over this little body of believers. And that God, in his grace and mercy, has given us the revelation to link ourselves to the cross of Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And in this last day, God is sending this message around the world one more time. That's how I know we're so close to the rapture. One more time, the message of the gospel, Christ and him crucified, is being beamed around this world. And I tell you what, I do not glorify the man. I love him, Brother Swaggart. But he's just an instrument. But he is, just as Moses was chosen to bear this word before Pharaoh. Brother Swaggart, I believe, is God's chosen instrument to bear the message of the cross to the world on a worldwide basis. He's called us all to carry this message on the local level here to our world. But for mass outreach, his hand is on Brother Swaggart and Sun Life TV to get this message out of Christ and him crucified. We need to pray for him. There would stand in the court magicians of Pharaoh, just like Moses did. But I know they're going to prevail because they're preaching the right message. No, they're not perfect people. My Lord, none of us are perfect. If it took perfection, we'd all be in trouble. Nobody'd get nothing from God. But we do not worship men. We worship Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. And His shed blood by faith in it, makes us perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're living in these last days that Timothy spoke of. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, he specifically refers to it. He said, just as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. In essence, so are these false teachers withstanding the word of God. Now you say, how did he get the specific names of Jannes and Jambres? This is where Cecil B. DeMille got his two court magicians from. There were these writings of the Jews. They were called Targums. They were not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they were very historically accurate. And in one of these Targums, they're called, a man by the name of Jonathan wrote one. And he specifically, historically, just for historical purposes, recorded the names of Pharaoh's court magicians, the two leading ones, Jannes and Jambres. And he said, as they withstood Moses, so in this last day, the perilous times, are false teachers still going to oppose the true word of God. Now, what I'm about to preach is probably why we don't have thousands of people sitting in our church this morning, but that's all right. I'd rather have a church running 50 or 60 that's right, just have a church run 1,000 that's wrong. He said he gave specific instructions, the Holy Spirit did. He said, from such, turn away. Now, we'll do some preaching here. From such, turn away. That means if the heart of what they're teaching and preaching is not Christ and Him crucified, you'd better not be listening to them. Because that's how false doctrine creeps into a person's heart and mind. That's how it creeps into the church. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's very important. False doctrine and false teaching and teachers always enter into the church on the back of truth. Always, without fail. They present themselves as true ministers of the gospel. But they're Pharaoh's court magicians. And you say, how can you make a statement like that? When they're not leading you to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, they're preaching a false gospel to you. But now here it is. Here's how they do it. Most of what they say will be right. 95% of what you hear from a false teacher, I mean a good one. I'm talking about one that's really in the hand of Satan. You know, it doesn't take too much. It shows you how much idiocy there is in the body of Christ when a guy can sell blood of Jesus anointing oil and raise money to stay on TV. But but for everyone, you know, that's patently evident to most that that's chicanery, that's foolishness, you know. And even most that love false doctrine would not go after that. They would even identify that as not being correct. But a good false teacher, one that Satan's really using in a big way, 95% of what they tell you will be right. And you'll be tuning it in and thinking, oh, I just love what they have to say about this. I just love what they have to say about that. And it's probably true. But you listen to them long enough, and you better be listening for a certain sound. You better be looking for a certain doctrine at the heart of their teaching. If they're telling you it's their 10 steps or 7 keys or 5 rules, you better run from them. Because there is no 7 steps nor 10 keys. I like how Brother Donnie Swaggart says it. God don't have a 12-step program. God's got a 1-step program. It's the cross of Christ. It's the cross of Christ. And if that teacher, no matter how pleasant and how good and how even scripturally correct what they may be telling you, if they are not ultimately leading you to the finished work of Jesus Christ, you'd better turn away from them. You know, there's something they do. They put it in rat poison. Do you know most of what's in rat poison is harmless and found in a number of foods? But there's, and the ingredient escapes me right now. There's 1%. What's it called?
Strychnine.
They put it in the rat poison, and they put a flavoring in it that makes it taste so good that once the rat starts eating it, it can't stop. That's how it is with false doctrine to the human soul. That's why you need to check what you're listening to. I don't care how pretty they look. I don't care how handsome they are. I don't care how much good things they say. If it's not Christ and Him crucified they're leading you to, from such turn away. And that's hard for people to do. It's hard for people to see that which is pleasant to the eye. Doesn't that sound familiar? And appears to be good food for the soul. It's tough for people to turn away from that. It was tough for Eve to do it in the Garden of Eden. Matter of fact, she didn't do it. Our job is to withstand the court magicians of Pharaoh in this last day and stand on the Word of God. I heard one guy the other day teaching over the Blasphemy Network. And you can figure that out one later for yourself, the initials. He was telling people, oh, you got him, Monique. Lights came on for Monique right then. He was teaching about this upcoming Easter. And he was talking about the Passover, the seven steps of the Passover blessing, that if you send $1,000 to the Blasphemy Network, that you're going to get. God had to give them to you. And it included healing for your whole home, your whole family being saved, your mortgage being paid, IRS stops all audits. I mean, it went on and on and on and on. That you were guaranteed. He made no bones about it. Steve Muncy was his name. Steve Muncy. And he just flat said it. If you send $1,000 to this network, God is telling me right now that all these seven Passover blessings are going to come your way. He said, God can't deny His word. Man, don't that sound good on the surface? God can't deny His word. Well, that's right. But He will certainly deny Steve Muncy's word. You getting me? Because you don't find anything like He's preaching in this. That's the only problem. It sounded real good. But it's not the word of God. And in this last days, church, it's the most exciting time in the world to be a believer. Our redemption's drawing nigh. But the Holy Spirit, as I was preparing this message, said, tell my people two things. Number one, tell them they have a word from me. Fear not, I'm with them. Number two, He said, just as Moses withstood Pharaoh's false doctrine, tell my people, stand on my word, love my word, and don't leave it. Don't leave it when they're tempted to do so. Tell them, don't leave my word, because victory is theirs as long as they stand in my word. And hasn't God proven Himself to you? I don't know why the Lord would have me deliver a message like this, but I've been in this long enough to know that when He does, it's always for a reason. There's maybe somebody in this congregation, you're being tempted to leave your faith for something else. And what you're being tempted with, I'll guarantee it sounds pretty, it looks pretty. And the Lord is telling you, deep in your heart, you know it's wrong. Because you're going to have to compromise your faith to get it. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because if you stand on God's word, put yourself in Pharaoh's court for a moment, because that is exactly where each individual believer is living right now. We're being challenged on every turn by the powers of darkness. And Satan is using every type of mimicry, every type of imitation of that which is the true word of God to deceive God's people. But God's calling us. You stand there, because my serpent, my word, will devour in front of you that which is false. My word will show itself real to you and show me real to you. And you will stand victorious in front of the overwhelming evil that is surrounding you. Give Jesus Christ a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Lord Jesus, I thank you today because I feel we've heard the Word of God for this hour in which we're living. And Lord, I just pray that you will pour out a spirit of joy on your people this morning that will affirm to us our redemption is truly drawing nigh. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would remove any temptation and that he would give us the strength to turn away from that which might be speaking falsehood into our lives. Let us obey the word of God and turn from that which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Lord, nothing is worth missing out on the reward that is just ahead for us. Praise God. Praise God. I feel that today. Lord, to the one who's struggling, who's seemingly surrounded by demon forces, they have a word from you. Let them know that today. And let them know that as long as affirmed to them, as long as they stand upon that word, Lord, that which... Holy Spirit just gave me something to say. We don't throw down no rod in front of the powers of darkness. We hold up a cross. We don't throw down a rod. We hold up a cross. It was a piece of wood that God used to show his power in Pharaoh's court this day. It was a piece of wood upon which he would buy our redemption. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You hold up the cross in front of him in your life. Hallelujah. And you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. And you'll watch the power of his finished work on that cross destroy the demon forces that are surrounding you and overwhelming you. Because I say it again as we close, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel your victory sweeping every soul and spirit here today. But Lord, we would be remiss because I feel you leading me to do this. As far as I know, most here, just about everyone here today knows you as their Savior. But just in case someone does not, I want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. Are you right with God today? There's only one way to be right with God. It's not by being a good person. None of us are good. We've all fallen short of God's glory. The only way to be right with God is by faith and by putting that faith in what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross. And if your faith is not in Christ and what he did for you at the cross for your right standing with God, for the cleansing of your sin, then you're not right with God. I'm not trying to be mean to you. That's his word. That's not mine. There's only one way to be made right with him, and that's through faith in what Christ did at the cross. I'm asking you today, are you right with God? If you're not, do you want to be right with God? Are there any at all right now that say, Pastor, I'm not right with God, but I want to be. Would you slip up a hand and hold it high? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just between you and the Lord. I'm not trying to get you to appease me or anything. It's an admission that, Lord, I need you. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to elicit from you now. Is a response that says, I'm not right with God. I need Jesus. That's why I'm asking you to raise your hand. Are there any at all would say, I'm not right with God. I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus. Hold it up high if that's you. All right, then I'm going to go on with another part of the service. I feel the Holy Spirit this morning has so beautifully worked and given the altar call as we've stood in the pews and sat under the anointed word of God. But right where you stand right now, between just you and the Lord, make your heart an altar before him and approach him. And I feel he's already done this, but let him further complete his work. I feel he strengthened hearts today that were maybe weak a little bit in their faith. I feel that he's opened some eyes to some things that maybe we need to turn from. And I feel he has affirmed that our inheritance is not far down the road, church. Jesus is coming. Jesus Christ is soon to appear. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, as we leave the sanctuary, may we leave with a song of victory on our lips and joy in our hearts. Because, Lord, that's exactly how it should be, because you have overcome. We have a sure word from you, Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And you have showed us your amazing miracle-working power in transforming us from sin into righteousness. And Lord, it's all done by faith in what you did for us at the cross. Let everything we see and hear spiritually give us a discerning ear to hear clearly. What are they saying? Let us not make snap judgments on external appearances, how good or how pretty someone may look or sound. But let us really listen with the spiritual ear, with the ear of the Holy Ghost that's in our souls. Lest we don't want to be deceived, Lord. And it's possible, no matter how close we are to you, it is possible for anybody to be deceived if they do not keep their faith and keep their spiritual ear open to the message of the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you for victory today. We stand on your word, Lord, which cannot fail. We stand on its promises, and we humbly stand facing this dark, demonic world, not throwing down a rod, but holding up the cross of Jesus Christ. We praise you and give you glory today, Lord Jesus, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, and our soon coming King. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for giving us the victory of Jesus Christ today. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Emerson, would you come dismiss us in prayer today? This brother's a good friend of Mahari's and Mike's and Phil's, and I've just met him, just fallen in love with him. He's a minister of the gospel, and I want to have him minister here in our church one day soon when his schedule permit. I just love him. He's a good man of God. Would you dismiss us in prayer?